your non-stop entertainment radio.
Everybody now, let's go!
Morning, and you're welcome to all our listeners out there. You're tuned into Radio Africana, and this is Morning Dew. Right, Victory is my name. Yes, we've been blessed, given, you know, a positional, you know, stand spiritually, and victory is ours because he went to the cross, he died, was buried, and he resurrected, and he won the victory over that intensive battle on our behalf. You know, so Lord, we bless your name. We thank you that we've got the victory. Thank you, Lord, for that work, that great sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Thank you because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Thank you that we're constantly reminded in one way, shape, or form of that great sacrifice of our Lord and Savior. Father, accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Okay, good morning, lovely people. We're taking a new level. We're trying to look at, and I want to title today, it's just a continuation of where we've been, but just give it a fresh topic. We look at the legal stance of our authority. We've been talking about authority and power in the name of Jesus. We want to look at the legal stance of that authority, okay? And hopefully that will take us into some of the requirements to walk in that authority, in terms of your personal consecration. And the Lord will help us as we go on in Jesus' name. Right, so just a little recap. I think in the last session I was talking about the importance of trying to get a clear demarcation between the works of the flesh, which is the arena that the enemy likes to walk in. So there's lots of stuff in our nature. We're tripartite beings, spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit man has been rejuvenated. We looked at, Ezekiel, where the Lord promised that he's giving us a new, you know, heart, to remove that heart of stone. And so we did talk about that extensively, and so that he has also given us a new spirit. And so these are things we need to know. That's what we continually study, and I recommend that we go back into our archives and just look at some of the things we have dealt with in the course of time. So the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, is a new creation, it's a new species, it's a new man we're talking about here. So the man that we'll talk about with the fallen nature is totally different from the person who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so because Jesus Christ, you know, came to show us the way, he came from heaven to earth to demonstrate the lifestyle, how we're to live this new life. He's the one that's given unto us access to eternal life through our believing, having faith in him, you know. And so we have authority and power. We'll try to explain what that is, so carry on. And then we're going to look at some of the challenges, you know, as well, particularly in this instance today, hopefully, the legal stance of that authority. So what's the legal basis? We've looked at it from a covenantal point of view, looking at the covenants, the different covenants, how God initiates, you know, communication with humanity, and he came through different men at different times in different eras, okay? And that culminated in the ultimate, you know, superior covenant with Christ as the, you know, personality central in that covenant. And that God had always wanted to do certain things with humanity, get them to certain points. God wanted a family, okay? And so he has secured certain blessings for us. And so by accepting Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we know we're blessed. We know that we are already blessed. We know we've got the victory. We know that we, you know, are entitled to certain inheritance as co-heirs and co, you know, heirs with Jesus Christ. So there's a lot we need to know in the background. So now let's move forward at the legal stance of our authority. I want to look today, just a couple of stories in the Bible that we're aware of when it talks to our consecration and why that's important. The strongest man in the Bible records, you know, and the richest man in the Bible, were both taken down by the lust of the flesh. Oh, hello, somebody. The strongest man, the richest man, and also the wisest man, they had their flaws in the flesh. Okay, so Samson could kill a lion with his bare hands, okay, and rip the gates of the city, okay, from their foundation. Absolutely. He defeated entire armies all by himself. And when a woman gets close enough to him to find out his weakness, he told her everything, not just once. You know, she asked him over and over, and he answered her several times and kept going back. Hello, somebody. A man who cannot be overpowered, think about that, becomes one played by proximity. Awesome, incredible. So, how did the Bible say it? He that thinketh he stands, let him be careful, lest he falls. The Bible says it's not by power, it's not by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. Okay, now Solomon was the wisest man, okay, who was given wisdom directly from God. God gave him, inspired him when he asked for direction concerning how to lead God's people, and God gave him wisdom, okay, directly. He was also the wealthiest man who ever lived and had everything and built the temple. He wrote the Proverbs, you know, in the Bible. He was literally inspiring us and teaching us, you know, how to live a right life. And then he married 700 women. Hello. Who turned his heart away from God, and who gave him everything. So God gave him everything. Again, the lust of the flesh. So remember, we talked about the categories of the works of the flesh, okay, the arena that the enemy likes to, you know, carry out all his, you know, experiments, his theater, you know, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So you can see from these two cases, these very graced men, anointed men, with so much strength, okay, they couldn't personally, he said, with my notes here, a personal strength couldn't protect Samson. The wisdom and wealth could not protect Solomon. So what makes you think you're an exception? He that thinketh he stands, let him be careful, you know. And so the Bible just, you know, cautions us and admonishes us to be careful. Okay, so it's not to create any alarm, but just to cause us to be awake, to be alert, okay, to have a wake-up call. Lust does not come for weak men necessarily. It comes for the ones who think they are too strong to fall. And it never looks like a threat. It always looks like a conversation, a suggestion, a thought, a text message. You know, those communications we have at odd hours of the day under odd circumstances. Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking about? So guard your hearts, guard your phones, brothers and sisters, your eyes, and the circle of people you keep, all right, and you share your deep, intimate secrets with. And the Bible says, confess your faults one to another. I'll always say it, and I keep underlining, that is not for everybody. That's not the prerogative of everybody. Not everybody is called to speak into your life and your destiny. Okay? So you must establish a clear track record, a trail that they are worthy of speaking into your life. And it's to them that you can share. Okay? It says, you know, confess your faults one to another so that you may be healed. So you confess that to people who have earned that trust, earned by proven, you know, mentorship or coaching, a sound relationship that you can settle down in times of challenges and share such things with them so that you might be healed. I keep saying again, that's not everybody's assignment. So the Lord grant you wisdom in that. So, you know, right, you know, any connection that we have that feels harmless, you know, and still isn't, by the time you realize it, you know, you're being taken out. You know, we have to really be careful. We have to be on alert. It can cost you a lot. You know, it can really set you back tremendously. Okay, so what we're saying is guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it spring forth the issues of life. So one of the things we had tried to mention in our previous session is the arena or the attributes or the works of the flesh. Okay, so we must be able, as we move into our authority and power, as we're trying to consecrate ourselves so that we can be vessels that can be used, we must not be ignorant of that doorway through the eyes of the, you know, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Okay, so do an inventory, as it were. Look at the things that easily flaw you, your weaknesses, those easily besetting sins, the Bible says. Do an inventory. At the same time, understand what that is you need to do to walk in the Spirit. Okay, what are the fruits of the Spirit? How do you cultivate that in your life? What are the disciplines that can take you in that direction? These are so important so that we can stand, okay, in the place of our authority and power and become vessels that the Master can use. Okay, right, so having said that, just to have that as a baseline, all right, the next thing we want to look at is what I call some foundations. The Bible says, if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous man do? The same righteous man, the Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much, brings tremendous power to bear. But if that foundation on which you're trying to build is not, you know, properly established, if it's faulty, what can you do? You know, it's going to cause some compromise to whatever you're building. So as we consider moving into our personal consecration, moving in the authority and power that we have in Christ Jesus, you need to consider your foundation. Okay, make sure that you are building on a sure foundation. You want to remember that it's a spiritual house that's been built, you know, as we're led by the Spirit, as we're tutored by the Spirit, as He guides us and navigates us in our walk in the Spirit. You know, we're being built up a spiritual house. Okay, so the Bible gives us some things to notice here for this foundation truth. And I think I've said several times here that God's change agent is His Word. Okay, and so that's very important that we recognize that. So I just want to look at a couple of scriptures to remind us of the importance of the Word of God as His change agent. So we got 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. You know, it says about knowing this first. So first means first of all. Okay, so you can also look at 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, not before I tell you. So basically, you know, in studying the scriptures, in studying the Word of God, in studying, you know, our identity, which is important, who we are, what has been done on the cross, what we have an inheritance, and how we can walk in that reality, it's important to understand that, you know, the basis for everything is God's Word. Okay, without the Word was nothing made that was made. All right, so the scriptures here is telling us first things first. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, and one version says, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. Now this is so important, because a lot of people today is prophecy right, left and center. But we need to understand, the Bible is telling us here that we have a prophetic message as something reliable. Okay, and you will do well to pay attention to it. Okay, as to a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. So this prophetic message will cause the light to shine in your heart till the day dawns. It causes you to get brighter, to get wiser. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. So it's not people bringing their understanding into anything at all, but them knowing that the prophecy that they're coming into was given, inspired by the Spirit of God. Okay, so Scripture came about by the prophet's own. Sorry, let's take that back. Above all, we must understand that no prophecy, okay, or Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets, though human, spake from God as they were carried along by the Spirit. So they were inspired, okay, they were moved to speak as they were carried along by God's Spirit. Okay, so that's so important to note. And so this is the thing I want to point out here, because a lot of people jump on the bandwagon of a prophet here, a prophecy here, right? Even every prophecy must be tested back against this prophetic message in the Word of God. It is so clearly, you know, put down. So when you're looking at foundations or fundamentals, okay, know this foundational truth first. Okay, all Scripture is inspired, okay, by God, is given for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the, you know, man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I think we mentioned last week how God gave Jesus Christ, okay, the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good. So you start off with a revealed insight into the scripture, what's expected of you, and you start to do good with that revelation that you have. And then we begin to move on, progress as the light dawns. It says, as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns. So we're progressing. There's a process. All right. So I need to just make that very, very clear. All right. So why does the enemy look so hard, okay, or work so hard to keep us ignorant? We're going to take a break now, and then we'll come back and try and give some insight into why the enemy works so hard to keep us ignorant of our legal standing. Remember, we're looking at the legal standing of the authority and power that we have. Catch you after the break. Welcome back. Yes, a lovely track there, My Help. Yes, so look unto the hills from when comes my help. Yes, we must always remember that we are the ones that are helped. We need the mercy of God, the goodness of God, the help from above, and we are assured that. And so let's just remember to acknowledge Him in all our ways and all that we do, and He will surely direct our paths. Yeah, we're looking at legal stance for our authority. Okay, legal stance for our authority, and we're trying to make a clear demarcation between the attributes of the flesh or the works of the flesh and the arena that the enemy loves to work in, and that as many as are led by the Spirit, you know, they are being led by the Spirit, and they learn to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. They use the gifts of the Spirit, and they begin to manifest even that spiritual life. But we're just saying here, one of the things we have to know is the foundation, right? Because if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, bring tremendous power. Everything that we're studying, okay, the Bible is saying here that we have a prophetic word. Okay, now I want to read the same scripture, 2 Peter, 1 from 19 to 22, from the Passion Translation. And it says, "And you have been given the prophetic word, the written message of the prophets, made more reliable and fully validated by the confirming voice of God." Okay, on the mountain of transfiguration. "And you will continue to do well if you stay focused on it. For this prophetic message is like a piercing light shining in a gloomy place until the dawning of a new day. When the morning star rises in your hearts." And you must understand, this at the onset, okay? Interpretation of scriptural prophecy requires the Holy Spirit, for it does not originate from someone's own imagination. No true prophecy comes from human initiative, but is inspired by the moving of the Holy Spirit upon those who speak the message that came from God. I think it's so important to understand this. We're in a world where people jump on every prophecy, right, left, and center. This authenticates that and validates that the Word of God is that foundation. Every script, every prophecy that is initiated from above by the Spirit must be tested by the Word of God for content validity, okay? And so it's telling you that we have a prophetic message. The prophetic Word of God is a more sure foundation. And I think that's just so important at this point, as we're looking at our walk in the things of the Spirit, understanding, you know, what our legal stance is and the authority. Okay, so I was saying just before the break, why does the enemy work so hard to keep us ignorant of our legal standing in Christ? It is so that, you know, he can keep you begging for what you already possess because you're ignorant. It can keep you praying for what you already possess because you don't know that you have taken delivery of it. You can always be, you know, trying to become victorious in every situation and circumstance, whereas you are already victorious, you know. And so basically, you know, it can keep people in a place where you're crying for deliverance, you know, when you've already been delivered, you know. So these are things people will cry, they pray, they struggle, they worry, they get anxious, they get frightful, okay? But God has already given you the victory. And so having an understanding of your stance, your legally, it's so important, and it changes a lot of things that can happen to you in your life, in your situations, in your circumstances. And so I want us to really grab some things I'll be sharing with us today. The greatest tool against the believer is not necessarily temptation. You know, the enemy uses a whole, you know, archive of different things. It's not necessarily sickness. It's not even the accusations. One of the greatest weapons the enemy has, okay, is spiritual ignorance. The Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. We have this in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." All right. Just at this point, I'm remembering a scripture that keeps coming to my mind. He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through what? The knowledge of him. So in other words, everything he has given to you that pertain to life and godliness, if you are not knowledgeable about them, then it's likely you will not have access to them. Am I talking to somebody here? All right, so knowledge is critical, and knowledge of the personality who is the living word. So hence we started about the foundation. Everything he does is with the word. Without the word was nothing made that was made. Okay, in him we live, in him we move, in him the living word we have our being. So we live in him, we grow in him, we mature in him, we come to place of understanding in him, and in him we live and find expression. May the Lord help us to understand these things. You need to be in a position where you're constantly soaking, constantly immersed, constantly submersed in this truth. You know, you know, like when you're trying to marinate something and you soak it in the spices so that it gets deep into it. That's how you soak yourself in the Word of God, till it becomes something you're conscious of 24/7. You don't have time to take down the projectiles or the suggestions or the whispers of the enemy. You're focused on what God has said about you in that situation, in that circumstance. You come out victorious. You know you are a winner. You know that you're an overcomer. You know, you have to be conscious of that 24/7. Right, so the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee. So God is not happy when you reject knowledge. Okay, that thou shalt be no priest to me. So for you to be a priest to God, you need to have knowledge. Am I talking to somebody? For you to minister, for you to have any kind of ministry, okay, for you to be a vessel that God can use, it's important that you are an advocate, you are a scholar, you are one that is hungry, thirsty, and searching consistently for the truth. And you will come to know the truth, and it'll set you free. So it says, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. That's not a place any one of us wants to be. We want the blessings of God that make it rich to be blessed upon our lives, to be extended to our children and our children's children. May it be so for each one of you in Jesus' name. I recommend that you have a look at that same Hosea chapter 4. Looking at verse 6 all the way to 11, some more insight there, but that's not our focus at this moment. So do some due diligence with that. Now I want us to look at another important scripture, which I would want to term, you know, an important part of our topic today, looking at our stance from a legal standpoint of authority and power. And this is Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. Now this is the legal foundation of your authority in Christ. Okay, and when you read that, you know, it talks about the fact that we're seated with him. You know, last week we talked about the fact that we identify with his death, his burial, and resurrection. Okay, but the Bible goes on to say that we are also seated with him far above principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. So there's a position that we have as believers. All right, now in the ancient world, the one who sits, okay, had authority and power. So for example, when a king sits, okay, it's a declaration of one who carries power and he's presiding. It's also like, you know, going to court. Have you seen when everybody has to stand up because the judge has come in to preside over the case? So he now, when he sits, then he's exercising his, you know, dominion within that jurisdiction to exercise his authority and power over that situation that you're in. So it forms a foundation for us as Christian in our authority, okay, that we're not only identified with him dead, buried, and resurrected, but as he ascended and is seated on the right hand side of God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 is telling us we too are positionally seated with him in this place of authority. Okay, now let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to look at verses 19 to 21. All right, so he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us, okay, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, okay, when he raised him from the dead and sent him, okay, and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Okay, verse 21 says, far above principalities and powers and might and dominion and Eve and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world to come. Verse 22 says, he had put all things under his feet and given him, to be head over all things to the church, all right, which is the body, all right. So the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So this is an expansive, detail, documentation here in scripture of the extent of the authority and power that has been given, okay, that was wrought through Christ's death, burial and resurrection. And so he's been given all of this positionally and set him at the right hand of the heaven in heavenly places, far above principalities. And so you are seated in this exalted position by identifying with his death, burial and resurrection. And so that forms the legal stance, okay, of our authority and power in the name of Jesus. And so it's important to understand, some other version puts it in a different way. I says in, I think it's the TPT, the same verses 19 to 21. It says, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Okay? Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him. It's an exalted position, okay, to the place of the highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, government, realm of power in existence. He is gloriously enthroned even over every name that was ever praised, not only in this age but in the age to come. So that's the Passion Translation, okay, of Ephesians chapter 1. It's worth taking some time to look at these foundational scriptures here, okay. Verse 22 says, and he alone is the leader and the source of everything needed in the church. Okay, God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given him the highest rank above all others. And now we, his church, are his body on earth, and that will which fills him, okay, to be filled with all by all. Take that again. And that which fills him who is being filled by it. All right, so that's what fills each one of us, that is being filled by this same authority and power. That's what's propelling the church. That is where the foundation is. That is where it all comes from. So if you've been raised with him and made to sit with him, okay, you too are above all sickness, all fear, all accusation, all power, and any name that is named, and all of these things are beneath you by this technical, legal ground that we're talking about here, from your exalted position seated with Christ. Now, anybody hearing me will be like, Pastor, man of God, come. I don't feel, powerful. I don't feel, that I'm above anything. It's almost like in your own reality, you question whether that is happening. And this is so important to know here. When you have such a position, okay, with such a confession, you're right. Now, I need to watch your confession. I can't. I don't think so. I don't. Anything negative, the language of I can't is not really something the child of God should be. You should take that out of your vocabulary, literally. And the Lord will help you to do that. Okay? I can do all things. Not I can't. I can do all things. Maybe you don't fully understand. Maybe you don't know where to start from. But you have the capacity, the potential within you to do all things. So rather than be anxious, rather than be, anxious, frightened, afraid, pray. Why worry when you can pray? Why be anxious when you can take authority, knowing that you're coming from a place, you know, of knowing? Now, I need to break that, because I remember John chapter 14, when Christ was, you know, rounding up, and he said to them, I go to prepare a place for you. Where I go, you know, and how to get there, you know. And they're looking at him like, excuse me? And that's exactly when I'm reading to you that you have this, you're seated with Christ, you know, it's like, hello? Right, same thing. But what he was saying here, because of who is with you, because you're being led by the Spirit, okay? We're talking about a God who is the Alpha and the Omega, the Almighty God, the one before whom, you know, all the laws in creation must bow, the one before whom every knee must bow, the one who can suspend any law in any level, in any dimension, in any territory within the universe, the monarch of the universe. We are talking about the one who is outside of time. We're talking about the creator of the universe. Okay? Is anything impossible for him? Absolutely not. So now he's sending his Spirit, okay, to be with you, right? To inspire you. Remember the foundation, the word, okay? To teach you, to guide you, to reveal even your potential. When he says you know how to get there, it's because he knows. Am I talking to somebody? When he says you know what to do, it's because the Spirit knows what to do. So you are never stranded. You are never frustrated. Okay? The Lord has made a way by virtue of the Spirit that is within you. Your duty is to make the connection. Your duty is to stay in communion. Your duty is to ensure that you are taking the modules, the teaching, the instruction, and is guiding you in truth. And that you immerse yourself, you know, allow yourself to be soaked in the Word of God consistently, to the point where that's all that you're conscious of consistently. Okay, I can do all things. The Lord is the strength of my heart. The Lord is the strength of my life. Not my strength. I have no strength of my own. I have no power of my own. I have no anointing. But the Lord helping me, we will do vigilantly. Am I talking to somebody here? So that's the consciousness you have to have. And it's so important. So like I said, rather than having negative confessions, okay, and you are trying to live by what you feel. Hello? You're trying to live by your five senses, what you see, what you feel, your emotionals, you know, your emotional side, your will, your mind, you know, what you're hearing, the report of the enemy, all of that kind of stuff. That is not going to give you the advancement or the edge that you have as a child of God walking by faith. All right? The Bible says, and we'll probably look at this in more detail, the flesh profited nothing. Hello? Was the Spirit that quickens. So you have the advantage by the Spirit. You can be quickened by the Spirit. What the flesh cannot produce, your spirit man, energized by the leading of the Spirit, is more than able to do. This is when you move from just walking your human ability and you step into the supernatural. Okay, where you're divinely enabled. Remember, we talk about grace. Okay, where you're divinely enabled to do the extraordinary. The Bible says, if you can believe, then you with whom things are impossible, you now step into the class of beings that have everything possible, because you are being led by the Spirit, you are empowered by the Spirit, and you move in the authority and power of the Spirit. Okay. Lovely people, I hope that's coming across okay. Right, so let's take that slowly. We're trying to establish our legal standing for authority and power. We've said at the beginning, it's fundamental that you know without the word was nothing made that was made. Okay, all prophecy has to be tested by the word of God. So everything that is being said about the word of God is being initiated by the Spirit of God. And that's what empowers you to go out there to be representative, carrying authority and power by virtue of the Spirit at work in you, through you, and into your world. Okay, so like I said, you know, someone listening might feel, how is this possible? You cannot afford to walk by your feelings. You cannot afford to be led by your physical senses, what you see, what you hear. I'm not saying there's no place for you to use that to engage with your physical world. But when it comes to spiritual, you need an edge. You're going to need more than that. Okay? And we'll talk about the gifts you have of the Spirit. We'll talk about your spiritual senses in working in authority and power in the spiritual realm. Okay? Now, you cannot also rely on your experiences. Okay? So instead, you need to be living by the legal standing, which is what we're trying to really highlight here today. So there's a legal position, there's a legal standing according to the Word of God. All right? Not living by symptoms instead of living by the spoken word. So it's not the symptoms that you see. You know, your temperature might be reading whatever is reading on the scale, your blood pressure, yeah, those things are real in the physical, but in the spiritual, that does not affect anything. God can override all of that. Am I talking to somebody? Okay, so we have to begin to understand that there's a realm, a dimension. If we remain focused in the Spirit, if we're soaked in the truth of the world's word, if we continue to meditate upon that, and if we can have absolute faith in that reality, you can download that, you can confess that, you can declare that, you can reign and rule from that exalted position, and things will change. The reality in front of you will change. But it's something you have to be grounded in. It has to be your foundation. It will have to be rooted in it. Okay? You have to take your steps consistently. You're going to have to be very sensitive to what your confessions. Okay? So, I just want to, yeah, we've got a few more minutes. All right, let me just use this illustration, which I've used before, but in a different context. When you are being led by the Spirit, you need to know that you have the whole backing of the kingdom of God. All right? So the whole law, okay, you know, the whole law of the Spirit is backing you to, you know, authorize, to allow delegated power to be issued through you as a representative. So you can look at yourself in different ways. Let's maybe look at yourself as a police officer, okay, or some law enforcement agent. I think here in Manchester, we got a lot of these ticket guys. Everybody knows them. Yeah, they got real authority. They'll put a ticket on your car if you break the law, you know. So they're law enforcement agents. Now, when they step out in the middle of a busy street or on the roadside or whatever it is where they've been sent out to carry out the law enforcement, these representatives or law enforcement agent does not feel strong enough, okay, to stop a two-ton car coming at 30 miles an hour. Not at all. So it's not his feelings, it's not how he feels, but he has authority vested in him by virtue of the uniform, by virtue of who has asked him to be there, and the law that backs him up. Okay? So it's not about, you know, him feeling strong enough to stop any car. Physically, he or she is not able to do that. Okay? The average car weighs about 2 tons, rushing down at maybe 30 miles an hour. There's no way he'll stand. However, when he lifts up his hand, okay, in his official uniform, all right, every car knows that they have to stop. Okay, and why? Because he's not operating in his own strength, he's operating in the authority of the law delegated to him, okay, by the government with the power. Are we catching this, people? So there's a kingdom that you are representing. You can, you know, the Bible talks about us being ambassadors of Christ and all of that. We can also look at that also. We'll probably look at that in more detail. But what I want you to understand about authority, it's not how you feel. It's not your own strength, okay? It's not your own ability. You may have none of that, but by virtue of the position in which you are in, the Lord is backing you, the delegated authority and the power of that government that is vested in you to stand in that position, then you have authority and power to deal with that situation. And so it is with us spiritually. And I just pray that the Lord will help us to understand, you know, the depth of these things in terms of knowing distinctly the source of power, the delegated authority given to us, and what it means when you stand. So you cannot, you know, as a spiritual person, be relying on your five senses. It's not what you see, it's not what you're hearing, it's not how you're feeling, it's not your emotions, none of that. It's what the law has written, what has been declared, what is truth forever, okay, and how you can bring that, implement that, release that into your present situation. And that is what will cause you to become a master of that situation and circumstance that you're going through. Okay, so I hope that's come through all right. Yeah, so once again, we're just looking at authority and power in the name of Jesus, and we're trying to look today at the legal grounds, our legal basis, okay, our legal stance for our authority. And we'll also recap from last week, trying to look at the fact that there are two arenas. You can either lean into the counsel of God, the word of truth, the word of life, and it will be backed by authority and power, or you can lean to the suggestions of the enemy, okay, the lies, the deception, the projectiles, all their own strategies, and they will just play you in the arena of the works of the flesh. All right, so you have to have that clear demarcation. Know your legal stance as one that is seated with Christ in heavenly places. You are seated positionally in a place of authority, and you exercise your authority and dominion from that position in the spiritual realm, okay, and deploy that into the physical realm, and then you will see how that will impact your realm, impact your situation and your circumstances. Also mentioned fundamentally that the word of God is God's change agent, okay. Without the word of God was nothing made that was made. And that is God's tool in, teaching us, first that there is a sure word of prophecy. Every word spoken must be led, inspired by the Spirit, and will be tested again on the word of God, the prophetic message. All right. Now, we have known, we looked at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, and we're looking at the fact that, when the apostles was instructing, Timothy about some of the foundations. So these are things we need to look into. We also have the same similar instruction in Timothy, where all scripture is God breath, is inspired, is profitable for reproach, for doctrine, for raw instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, okay, unto all good works. Right, it's so important, because we will start in the process of transformation to do the good works, to do the works that are good according to the will of God that's been revealed to us. And as we grow, all right, remember what 2 Peter 1:19-22 was telling us. It says it's something reliable, and you will do well to pay attention. Okay, this is the word of God, as a light that shines in a bright place until the day dawns. So the entrance of the word will bring light, it brings understanding. As long as you continue to focus on it, as long as you continue to meditate upon it, as long as you become conscious of it 24/7, it's a bright light. It'll get brighter and brighter until the day dawns. And I pray that the Lord will visit your situation, visit your circumstances, visit your life with the truth of his word, and bring about this so required change. Lovely people, we have an advantage in Christ. We know all things through the Spirit of God that knows all things. We know what to do part time, whatever it is you're going through, because of who is with you. Just remember to tune in, to connect, to commune with him, to download, and to operate from the place of authority. The Lord give you victory on every side. The Lord increase you. The Lord cause his countenance to shine upon you, to be merciful. The Lord make room for you. The Lord cause you to grow from strength to strength. The Lord will empower you. The Lord increase you on every side. The Lord make, amazing things to happen for you. The Lord surprise you. The Lord cause you to walk out in pleasant places. The Lord enrich you. The Lord will gift you. The Lord will bless you. He has already blessed you, but the Lord will reveal more about the blessings of God that make it rich and added no sorrow unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly far above everything you can ask, think of, or even imagine. Just consider for a moment. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you may ask, you can think of, or even pray. So as you study, there'll be more revelation, there'll be more insight. I pray that the Lord take you from one level of glory to another level of glory. I pray that men and women will come, Gentiles will come to the brightness of your shining, kings will come to your rising in the name of Jesus. Lovely people, we've come to the end of our session today. I hope it's been a thorough blessing to you. Until we meet again, same time on the same channel, it's been a lovely time with you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and bye for now.
You're